fellow Freedom fans, back with the Faith and Freedom Show. We're going to talk about some things that it's going to be here for a while it continues to be in the in-flight entertainment while our plane is in a nosedive. I did read something not too long ago. I guess it was a couple of months ago. There was a plane crash, and because all the plane crashes that were going on, a lot of controllers not paying attention to what was going on in front of them, but were on cell phones and things like that. They had a report of a lady who is still alive today, and she was in a plane crash in 1972. She fell tens of thousands of feet. I mean, it was tens, like more than 10,000 feet kind of thing. She was a 13-year-old strapped in the chair. The plane disintegrated midair when it blew up after a lightning strike. And she remembers seeing the clouds and seeing things fly away from the plane and everything like that, and seeing the jungle approaching her. She was flying over some place in South America. She crashed through the canopy of the trees, I presume seat first. She survived the fall. She saw some people that didn't. They were basically still strapped to their seat and planted into the ground head first. Very tragic story. One survivor fell out of the sky and survived. Very interesting story. Why I said that, who knows? Who cares? You are listening to David Allen Carmichael. You can give me a call at 888-850-1872. Something in the news. U.S. commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, says that there needs to be a significant increase in troops to prevail in Afghanistan mission. Do you guys know what it is? Do you know what the mission is? Too much in-flight entertainment. Americans don't know what's going on in Afghanistan. It's a tragedy. It's an important thing. It matters. The Constitution actually provides for armed forces and the use thereof. But we're talking about other things. There's a $629.6 billion defense bill that's currently there, and I think it's 128.6 of it is for contingency funds for Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, look how much is being spent on Afghanistan and Iraq, $128.6 billion. I can't remember the cash for clunkers number. I don't think it was close to that. But there was a bailout thing. A bailout thing. I don't know where bailout is. If you can find bailout in the U.S. Constitution, please give me a call at 888-850-1872. But $128.6 billion is not close to the bailout dollars. And, of course, this $128.6 billion has something to do with things mentioned in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. I find that fascinating. I don't know what went into cash for clunkers, how much went to the bailout, you know, hundreds of billions or whatever. How many million will be required to control every American through healthcare? I don't know. I'm going to play something for you, and I hope that you never know how noisy some of these things are going to be when we play them for you. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to play something from you. And this, again, if you can tell what this guy is, I watched Born in East L.A., so I try to do my Cheech Marin, where he was asked who the president was. I said, well, who is the president of the United States? He said, oh, man, this is a guy from Death Valley Days, John Wayne. Well, John Wayne wasn't in Death Valley Days, so you can figure out who it is that I'm going to be playing here. But we're going to play an audio clip, and we'll try to make that noise
to better. Help those people who need it. Now, what reason could the other people have for backing a bill which says we insist on compulsory health insurance for senior citizens on a basis of age alone, regardless of whether they are worth millions of dollars, whether they have an income, whether they're protected by their own insurance, whether they have savings? I think we could be excused for believing that, as ex-Congressman Foran said, this was simply an excuse to bring about what they wanted all the time, socialized medicine. James Madison in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. They want to attach this...
As James Madison said, sudden and violent usurpations. What did we say that John Locke said a usurpation was? Somebody doing somebody else's job. You know, there's authority to do something, but somebody else is doing it who shouldn't be. And Mr. Reagan, it wasn't John Wayne. It was the guy who played in Death Valley Days. He said that there was this excuse going on. At the time, it was Medicare. Remember the great plan, Medicare? They were championing Medicare. We've got, and at the time, if you listen to the entire clip that he made of this recording in 1964, Mr. Reagan goes on to explain to us here 40 years later that there was the sky was falling with regard to this group of people in America that didn't have medical insurance. He pointed out that, by the way, a good number of them didn't need it or didn't want it. But nevertheless, no matter what their status, everybody had to be lumped into it at a certain age. Well, he said it was just a slow encroachment with a long-term plan to institute socialism. And ultimately, you hear all these ism terms. It's basically this perspective. Can I just tell you, it is sort of an idolatrous thing that where your salvation is the government. You get your salvation from society or the government, this government plan. It's the same idea that Karl Marx had when he and Mr. Engel produced this Communist Manifesto. It's nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. But there is a thing where you are being devoted as if your very salvation is going to come from this entity that you have created. It isn't. There's a plan. It's already been revealed. One of them that help your economy, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. You got a problem with your retirement? Parents, raise up your children the way they should go. When they grow up, they will not depart from it. And tell them, honor your father and mother, so it will be well with you and you'll live long in the earth. And you be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. You prepare an inheritance for your children, and they will use that inheritance to take care of you in your old age. It's already the plan. The economic plan is a powerful, awesome one. It's already been revealed. You read the Bible and just do it. It's amazing what it'll do for you. So here we are acting as if that is obsolete. You know, we've got a better idea. One of the better ideas was Medicare. You know what they're saying now? And what the congressman told me in the email that I got today? Medicare is defunct. It's going to be destroy us by the year 2017. Wait a minute. I thought it was our salvation in 1964. Really, it was the sky's falling means to an end of taking over the planet, all right? Just exercising power outside the authority. It's nowhere in Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. I'm going to play something that Mr. Reagan said. He ought to be chastised, and he may be rolling over in his grave now. Listen to this comment he makes about what they thought in 1933 was a need for government. You know what they thought? They thought it was a good thing. Well, this is a good idea. But now the next idea is not a good idea. I say if you'll step back and before you talk about the good or the bad of the idea, see whether or not there's any authority to exercise it. If the government is not the one who's supposed to be doing it, nip the discussion in the bud. You know, save yourself from great catastrophe. So I'm going to go ahead and continue playing what these comments by Mr. Reagan.
Bill to Social Security. And they say, here is a great insurance program, now instituted, now working. Let's take a look at Social Security itself. Again, very few of us disagree with the original premise that there should be some form of saving that would keep destitution from following unemployment by reason of death, disability, or old age.
See, now again, that's weighing the good, the bad, and the ugly instead of considering by what authority you have to even consider the silly thing. Let's press on.
And to this end, Social Security was adopted. But it was never intended to supplant private savings, private insurance, pension programs of unions and industries.
I have to stop there again, because what it is I think that was a key phrase that he said. It was never intended to supplant these other mechanisms that people would naturally ought to be doing. That really, it should be the church. We should be taking care of the widows and orphans. In the Bible, it says true religions take care of the widows and the orphans. It's not supposed to be the government. Well, we say, okay, well, we created government as a machine on our behalf to take care of the widows and the orphans. Well, you know what I mean? It really should be us doing it. We should be taking care of our families and taking care of our neighbor. Ultimately, we're going to be hooked up and prospering if we would do that. We're a bit covetous, though, and unwilling to give. And of course, it isn't being given back to us. There's a lot of precepts here that I think that people need to be considering and it really pays off in the long run. So I say, listen to what he said. He said, well, we all agreed that this was a good idea. Well, hello, you already opted into just a predestined catastrophe when you did something that has no authority in the Constitution. It is not the place of that federal government institution to take over the country's welfare benefit plan. I mean, that's not the purpose of government. That's not it. The reason it's being done is because it's merely because we're so wicked that we're not taking care of each other. I mean, we're just essentially cursing ourselves with a curse. Now, had we had our head together and said, wait a minute, you know, that generation back then, we don't have the authority to do this. And then if it was really the sky is falling, guess what? It would have gotten taken care of. I mean, it's just something that'll happen or else everybody dies. So it'll be taken care of. Okay, I'm going to, if you guys want to talk, you know, even if you got a comment on this, we had some discussion with some folks who said to me that the great evil was privatization. So there's a couple of people that listen to the show, they've been on the show. Some of the time, if you go do a search on the internet, you're going to hear interviews that I've had with people who are of the progressive mindset, and that's a different label that in the past it's been called something else. Their mindset is government is our savior. When we allow somebody to do something and it's not government doing it because men are evil, they do it wrongly. Well, that's true. Men are depraved because men are wicked or vicious, corrupt, vicious, and degenerate. In the words of John Locke, and for those of you watching by video, I have John Locke's Treatise on Government on faithfreedoms.org right here next to my face, don't I? Where he said, because men are vicious, corrupt, and degenerate, we have need for government. The problem is, too, who are you putting in government? Men who are evil, corrupt, vicious, and degenerate. It is not our salvation. We are obligated, truly, to Almighty God personally and individually to do that which is right. Oh, by the way, when we're in that mode, and we happen to be in government, where it's going to be more, will be more effective. It's just going to happen. So, but keep in mind, that's not our salvation. We're creating this mechanism. And the point I want to make here is those who say, well, privatization is an evil thing. And so what I did is I had to say, what is privatization? I think we came to the conclusion that we both agreed that privatization is taking a true legitimate function of government in the constitutional powers of authority of either executive, legislative, judicial branch, whatever it is, and sending it out to somebody who's a quasi-governmental organization, para-governmental organization, non-governmental organization, or somebody, and then giving them a government sword-like powers to carry out their functions. That is evil, because what you're doing is you're taking what is legitimately a function of government and putting it into somebody who will tend to not be accountable to the law and those who are in charge of the government. And what happens, it's just in the long run really hurts. But that's privatization, giving over to the private thing, commercial entity or something that ought to be retained as a government function. So I think privatization itself, if that is the definition, is inherently absolutely wrong. Now, the problem is some of these folks go as far as thinking, oh, that means that there should be nothing that's private. Everything should be controlled by the government. Everything is the government's. No, there are things that are private. That's not privatization. Private is yours. Private is private. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to visit this a little bit more. Of course, our number is 888-850-1872. Don't hesitate to check us out on the web at faithfreedoms.org. I am David Allen Carmichael. I am going to return here on the Eagle 104.3 FM with the Faith and Freedom Show. Talk about the issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong.